WikiLeaks? Never heard of them. 807 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Friday. Glad to have you here, Sean and Dalton, Dr. Bill, Kane. Of course, you on the phone lines and text line, 343-0106, 343-0106. And keep that number handy. Keep it ready to go. Sometime this hour, your chance at Jim Gaffigan tickets. The Quality Time Tour is coming to the Wharf Amphitheater Saturday, May 11th. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com and the Wharf box office. But you got a chance to win them coming up this hour. So be ready. 343-0106. If y'all are new to town, it's the 251.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
that's
by the
right.
way, remember we're getting another area code like in West Central Alabama or something like that?
Yeah. Have they already said what number that's going to be? Is he going to?
Yeah, they did. It was like, I think it had a 9 in it or something. Well, I don't know. We'll look it up. Yeah. There's a new one coming to the state. I like it how it is. I like, you see a 256, a 205, a 334, a 251. You kind of, well, you used to know where the call was coming from. Now it really doesn't matter. But
you know, if you haven't seen Gaffigan before, I recommend checking out one of his specials on Netflix.
Yes.
And then if you haven't bought tickets to this, you will want to buy tickets because he is a funny, funny guy.
Yes. And he, he has a sense of, you have to have lived a little bit of life. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you have to be old, but you have to have had some life experiences, I think, you know, to go through the Gaffigan comedy.
You think dad humor? Dad humor?
And that's a thing that's like hashtag now, right? Dad humor, dad jokes, and all that stuff. Yeah, my kids always say, oh, that's a dad joke. If I tell the joke, it's a dad joke.
Right. Any joke you tell, even if it's an incredibly vulgar joke,
I could do
the
aristocrats joke.
You don't want to do
if
that.
If I could do the aristocrats joke and I did it, then it would be a dad joke. But there's a few people laughing. They know what we're talking
his
about.
His dad jokes are funny, though.
Yeah, they're real funny. And what we're getting at is it's a clean show.
Right.
It's a clean show.
And no aristocrats.
Right, no aristocrats. Sometimes, though, you get clean shows that aren't funny. He has the ability to have a clean show and have it pretty darn funny.
Yeah.
All right, a couple things here. We're going to get in. We'll talk some the gnome that is Julian Assange. It was, he kind of had that David Letterman, which, by the way, Letterman's birthday is today. He's 72, I think. I had that written down. Yeah, Letterman's 72 today. But you know how Letterman I had David Letter gnome used to put up on Twitter because he let himself kind of go with a gnome look. Julian Assange getting a little bit of a gnome look to him.
Oh, and he didn't look like that. Just, I feel like last year he didn't. But we didn't see pictures of Assange for quite a while.
Laying around on the couch in the Ecuadorian embassy playing PlayStation.
You know, maybe Harry's quit shipping razors out there. I don't know.
That might have been what happened to him. But we'll talk some WikiLeaks here in a second. Also, I want to get Dalton to roll out some stats here now.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's not everybody out there that watches this. Lord knows, not everybody. But there's a lot of people, obviously, that check out Game of Thrones because, number one, we're excited for the sixth season, final season?
Eighth season, but there will be six episodes.
Yeah, the six episode final season.
Right,
okay,
yes.
I should have said that way. That starts on
Sunday
night. And, I've been watching this since season one, and that's one of the few. I don't watch a lot of TV. I don't consume a lot of TV, but I am a goober for some of the HBO programming. It started really with The Sopranos, and it's gone through kind of their big, not every one of their shows, but probably the shows that I know the most about over time that I've watched have been these series on HBO.
Yeah, I'm a big HBO fan. They take money out of my pocket every single year. And like you said, Sopranos, I had to go back and watch that.
Yeah, you were too young when that came out.
Deadwood, I loved. The Wire. But now Game of Thrones is without a doubt, would you say their biggest hit ever? For sure.
Probably because the audience has grown for it and more people are, you know, accessing it. I mean, if you're going to ask me my favorite of the shows, I'll still go back to The Sopranos. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite. But Game of Thrones is obviously pretty darn big.
And it's one of the, if not the only show where it's water cooler talk the day after. Because now everyone can stream any show they want to.
Right.
So, I'm watching Cheers. Nobody's watching Cheers anymore.
Right.
I mean,
you've gone back out there,
but I can't come here and say, hey, how about that next episode, that last episode of Cheers?
You can. I mean, you can with a lot of us that watch it when it first came out, and Mark Holliday in the production room who knows everything about TV that ever happened.
Right.
You can talk about it with him.
But Game of Thrones, everyone that I talk to has heard of Game of Thrones.
Right.
Most of them are watching Game of Thrones, and this is how it's grown over the years. So
listen to these stats. This is what Dalton rolled out to me. Listen to these
Game of Thrones sent out an email yesterday, and the episode per episode average viewership in the United States. Season one, the per episode average, 9.3 million per episode. That's not bad.
That's not shabby. That's not when shabby I came in. I came in year one.
Season two, 11.6 million per episode. Season three, 14.4 million per episode. You seeing a trend here? It's kind of climbing each year.
Yeah.
Season four, 19.1 million per episode. Season five,
holy cow.
In season five, 20.2 million people per episode watched Game of Thrones. Season six, 25.7 million per episode. And then last year, season seven, 32.8 million people watched per episode.
What is that akin to? Like, we talk about like SEC playoff numbers or championship games or... Super Bowl is what, like 60 million?
I'm trying to find the number here. I'm pulling up the 15 most watched TV programs of 2018. Super Bowl had, let's see, 103.4 million viewers.
Okay, 103.4. So there's the top of the stack.
That is always the top. But then you got Big Bang Theory. And remember, Game of Thrones did not air last year.
Right.
In 2018. Big Bang Theory did, and it averaged 18.6 million viewers.
Is that per episode or for the year?
Per episode that season.
Okay.
The 2017-2018. It said it peaked at 20.36 million viewers a couple years back. But so that would be number two in 2018 at 18.6 million per episode. Game of Thrones last year averaged 32.8 million.
But it was
doubling up. Big
but
Bang
it wasn't
Theory.
On.
Oh, yeah, not last year, but their last season, which would have been 2017.
Wow.
Yeah. So big numbers.
Yeah, that's significant. So and then of course this is it, right?
This is it. Well,
watch the execs in Hollywood go, how can we make it go longer?
You know there are gonna be spin-offs. They'll have, you know, go back to the past before Game of Thrones. And Game of Thrones this
like
year
prequel stuff.
Yeah, prequels and then, you know, what's happening on the other side of the Game of Thrones world that we haven't heard about. But one thing I've noticed this year with Game of Thrones leading into the series premiere on Sunday, first off, the fountains in Vegas. Mm-hmm. What are the fountains called there?
Ones at the Bellagio?
Yeah, the Bellagio fountain. Yeah. They've completely Game of Thrones that out. So they have a Game of Thrones fountain show going on there.
Okay.
But I've seen them roll out more sponsorships, more partnerships with companies than ever before.
Just, we mentioned Oreos the other day. They had the Game of Thrones Oreos.
You were mentioning Oreos. My parents, they were in Vegas last week, and they went by this shop, I don't know, one of those duty-free shops in Vegas, and they saw Game of Thrones scotch. And they actually picked me up a bottle of scotch, some Dalwhinnie scotch that was House of Stark.
Nice, Ned
scotch.
Stark's
choice,
yes.
And it came with a Game of Thrones sleeve. So they've got every house in Game of Thrones they're selling the scotch for.
Oh, wow.
Johnny Walker. They've got the White Walker, Johnny Walker, where you freeze it and it says winter is coming. I mean, those are just
Wait a second. So when you freeze the bottle, it's when you see winter is coming?
Yeah, when you freeze the bottle, winter is coming shows up on the side of it. But those are just a few of the many, many partnerships.
And Johnny has his... you know, his top hat and his walking stick and everything, but it also has
blue eyes
like the White Walkers.
Like the White Walkers. So wow. Cool stuff for us Game of Thrones nerds, fans.
Yeah, they're nerd fans, fan nerds, something like that. All right, coming right back. More to talk about here from the WikiLeaks and also in the state of Alabama. A couple pieces of legislation moved yesterday and some got shut down before they even got a chance to get out. And I'll tell you what that is when we come back. Kane, 820 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings 343-0106. That's the phone number, text line 343-0106. Also, your chance to win Jim Gaffigan tickets coming up here shortly. Yeah, we're going to run through a couple things. Number one, I'm going to take some calls on the Assange arrest, and will he be extradited to face charges here in the States? And I do like the comedy of the president yesterday saying, like, WikiLeaks, never really my thing or whatever. And come on, President Trump, come on. Just, you got to own it. I mean, if you said it a whole bunch. And I think you were fine in saying that a whole bunch, but don't pretend like you like are unfamiliar with.
Yeah,
the
never heard of them.
Who is this Wiki one? That's on the list. Also from Montgomery. Two things here. I want to talk about some legislation that moved and some that didn't move. Which one do you want first? The one that moved or the one that didn't move?
Let's hear the ones that didn't move.
Okay, the one that didn't move that's got my attention the most. And that is a bill from Senator Arthur Orr.
Mm-hmm.
And Arthur Orr out of North Alabama. As I said yesterday when I was talking about this during the midday show, you know, I'm not exactly his biggest fan. Arthur Orr was one of the people from the other parts of the state that worked hard to take the BP money elsewhere from Southwest Alabama. But truth is truth, okay? He has, each year for the last probably 3 or 4 years, presented a bill that would get ABC,
mm-hmm.
Alcoholic Beverage Control, get Alabama out of the booze retail business.
Okay. Leave it in private hands.
Yes, let private businesses sell booze, right? And now, let me, before you listen to what, and I hadn't heard it this year so much because it didn't even make it out of committee, but in years past, the opponents have said things like, oh, well, if Senator Orr's bill goes through, then kids will be getting booze and there'll be people drunk in the streets and all this stuff. And it's just false. It's just lies,
mm-hmm.
because his proposal has been to get the state out of the retail liquor portion. They still would have the ability, ABC would still be there, to enforce keeping minors from drinking the booze laws. They'd also be there to collect the excise tax that comes in, the very hefty excise tax that comes in on the booze coming into Alabama.
Wouldn't you think they'd be able to actually use more resources towards the control part of alcohol beverage control?
Yeah, it depends on, you know, how many people are left. Yeah, well, it's how many people would be left, because that's what this gets into. SB 77, which is Arthur Orr's bill to phase in the privatization of liquor retail sales in Alabama, yesterday failed to advance out of the Senate committee. Okay, this story from Yellowhammer News. I love the fact that, let's point out the, in my opinion, the ridiculousness of the committee it didn't make it out of. It is the Senate Committee on Fiscal Responsibility and Economic Development.
It's right there in the name.
They voted it. Five voted, gave the bill a favorable report. Six opposed it.
Mm.
So the committee, this isn't a full Senate floor vote or anything. This is the Committee for Fiscal Responsibility and Economic Development, voted down a bill from Senator Orr that would phase in privatization of the liquor sales in the state.
Unbelievable.
During a public hearing immediately before the vote, representatives of ABC, Alcoholic Beverage Control Board, and the Alabama State Employees Association and Alabama Citizens Action Program, ALCAP, spoke out against the bill. Now, let's go through this. First of all, the people who, State Employees Association and the people with ABC, and I don't know exactly what the dog in the hunt is for ALCAP, but I would argue the first two groups are arguing against the bill because it would mean a loss of jobs over time for people. I think there's 600 and some odd people working with ABC in the state of Alabama. Said this yesterday, and I'm going to say it again. They're not bad people. People are working hard. They got jobs. They want to protect their jobs. I get it. It's not like I'm, you know, on a warpath against those individual people. But the idea that because you want to keep your job, the state should be in the business of selling booze,
mm-hmm.
is ridiculous.
Well, those people are represented up there, but are there any mom and pops have liquor stores that get up there and get to talk in front of the committee?
Yeah, and you know the situation in Alabama, if you've not paid attention in the past, that those mom and pops have to buy their liquor from ABC to then mm-hmm. sell it in the private market. ABC is the middleman and the competitor.
Yeah.
It's the broker and also the competitor. It is, I mean, if they were selling hamburgers like this in the state, everybody'd be up in arms. So it goes on to say here, so Orr argued the state should not be competing against the private sector. His bill stipulated that the ABC board would phase out its involvement in retail sales by October 1st of 2024. So it's not an immediate thing. It's a nice, slow, gradual descent. ABC's non-retail functions, including regulation, would not be affected. This is what they lied about 2 years ago. It would not be affected. So the making sure the kids don't get booze, all those kind of things, they're still in that business because that's a job of government.
Mm-hmm.
But is selling the booze at a storefront the job of government? SB 77 also provided for severance pay. Listen how good this was of a deal. SB 77 also provided for severance pay, preferential treatment, and other benefits for displaced ABC retail employees as authorized by the State Personnel Board. However, two of the opponents focused on these employees losing their state jobs during remarks to the committee. It's the fact that somebody, once again, I don't believe these people, you know, the simplistic argument would be, oh, they're all bad. They're working for government and we're all good. That's not true. There are great people working at state government. I'm sure there are tons of great people working at the ABC. But the fact that they're great people and they have a job, is that a reason to continue the state in the business of selling booze?
So that was one of the reasons for shutting it down. With this, they would have gotten five years to find a job. Mm-hmm. They would have gotten a good severance package. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like they were going to give them the option to work elsewhere in the state.
That's right.
Or have another job.
Yeah,
they'd get
first priority for other state jobs. Senator Orr has introduced a variation of this legislation for several consecutive years. However, this year's bill was said to be the simplest of the lot, and I'd say the most favorable out there for those on the other side, and it didn't even make it out of committee. Okay? So that one didn't make it out of committee. While the road rage bill, which I have no problem with what they're trying to accomplish, I don't know why you call it a road rage bill, as Representative Philip Pettis out of Killen, Alabama, North Alabama, HB 212. It would be to keep people from sitting in the left lane, you know, without passing another vehicle. I like what he has in this bill, but when you call it the road rage bill, you're saying the only reason that you would have this done is because of road rage. Mm-hmm. It overly simplifies and almost makes a comedy of what is... Why do you call it the Road Rage Act? Call it like safe driving.
To work on time act. Something like that.
So we'll talk about that. The bill put out by Philip Pettis, former state trooper, would make it illegal for drivers to drive more than 1.5 miles in the left lane without passing someone on the right. There's a couple of them. One that is moving, the road rage bill is moving, and the SB 77 is not moving.
And again, and we've talked about this with texting while driving. Wouldn't that be improper lane usage? Wouldn't that already fall under something like that?
I'm sure there is somebody in law enforcement, because I always thought it was a law that you had to. It is a law.
Yeah.
But I guess this is like so many times that they go and even more law. It's even more now. Let's go to the phones. And Joel in Mobile, first up. Hey, Joel.
Hey, good morning. One of the bills that passed, I believe, now you can clarify this, is baiting the deer.
Okay, so that is...
a state license, I guess you can buy the permit and then legally feed the deer and pigs to hunt over it. Is that right?
Yeah, so let me run through this. So the SB 66, I think, and this one started in the Senate, and it is, you know, usually stuff starts in the House and then goes to the Senate to get squashed, and these baiting bills of the past have done just that. They came out of the House and they went to the Senate and they went nowhere. This one, Joel, came out of the Senate and then goes to that. So it got passed by the Senate. It is now, I think, for a vote today. I think it's up for the vote today in the House, and then we'd see if the governor would sign it. What it would do is, if you wanted to hunt over bait, and I don't want to, you know, we'll talk more about this on the Outdoor Show tomorrow.
There was a joke on Facebook a little while ago that said we didn't know we needed the state's permission.
Well, okay, so what it does is it takes anyway, out the thing. Yeah. Okay, so and the wrinkle is to this, we've had this feeding law in place for a while, which is, you know, you can, and I'm air quoting here, you can feed as long as you can't see the feeder when you're hunting.
That's right.
Right. So what this would do is, and I think that's troublesome too, because that makes it a gray area for conservation officers and for hunters alike. So this would get rid of that, but you would have to buy, for everybody who wanted to hunt over the bait, you'd buy a $15 license each year. Now, the good part of that is that money would go back to conservation, go back to wildlife and freshwater fisheries, which would let them use it as matching money coming from the feds. And once again, we'll dive into this tomorrow on the show, on the Outdoor Show, but that's a big deal. It's like a 3-to-1 match from the feds, but we have to have a certain number of hunting licenses sold in the state, and this would account for a hunting license, this baiting stamp you would get.
I agree with it. I mean, if the money goes back to the conservation, that's great. I mean,
it also has a part that the head of Alabama Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries can, at their discretion, if there's a disease outbreak in a certain part of the state or the entire state, they can restrict that baiting. Right. So if CWD is in the state or something like that, they can stop it to keep deer from going to one site, you know, and feeding and spreading,
I got you.
Spreading disease. So,
That sounds good.
Well, we'll see.
I guess
it sounds better than the ones of the past. I'll say that, and let you know. Like I said, tomorrow, 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Mike Ward and I will be joined by Director of Alabama Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries, Chuck Sykes, is coming on with us tomorrow. And we'll talk in detail about that bill, get the commissioner's opinion on it, and kind of go through all the there's like 6 pages of this, and we'll go into detail tomorrow for all y'all like me that get into that kind of stuff. All right. And remember, we podcast that show too, just like the 40 some odd hours a week of other programming. And you can always go back. You can listen to last week's show, which was All Turkeys All the Time. Go to the podcast page, look for FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. You can also find the Outdoor Show on Facebook. We got our own Facebook page, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. All right, check in with Dr. Bill and the news coming up right now.
836 on FM Talk 106.5. This is a Friday edition of Mobile Mornings. And right now we head to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Dalton. Good morning, buddy.
So at McConnell Automotive, it is April, and that means some of the best deals you will ever see at McConnell Automotive.
Dalton, I really think so, buddy. And I think if customers are out there listening right now, if you really like to negotiate and get the runaround and go back and forth with salesmen and managers, then McConnell probably is not your favorite place to shop, you know, every day of the year, because we just don't believe in that. We've been around, you know, for over 60 years, and our thing is just to really be transparent. And for customers who like to be treated straightforward, we're really, I think, maybe the best place to shop anywhere on the Gulf Coast or in the South, just because we clearly put our prices out there and save customers money every day, Dalton. And right now, people will go to my website. I really think this is the best sale we've had in at least 6 months, and it's because everything, Dalton, Yukons, Denalis, the Sierra truck, Z71s, Acadias, everything we have in GMC is marked on what we call on a pink tag, and everything for Buick too. So examples are over 20% off the truck, over 16% off every Buick, and nobody's going to beat our prices, Dalton. So at the end of the day, we really focus on the service and the way we connect with our customers. And price for us is easy. We just want to invite everybody to shop, buddy. And this is the best sale I've had in 6 months, hands down.
You mentioned the website. What's that domain name? And you could see the inventory of the, or you could see pictures of the entire inventory there too, right?
Yeah, buddy, you can. And you know, we are Irish family, so it's 2 C's, 2 N's, and 2 L's. McConnell Automotive. And I would love everybody that's out there in the market to take advantage. If you're in the market over the next 60 or 90 days, this is the month to come to McConnell and you can buy it. Employee, GM employee, supplier price minus rebate. So it just doesn't get any better than that. And people just go to that website, Dalton, and check it out. And I hope everybody has a great Masters weekend.
All right. Thanks, Mitch. Have a good one.
You too, D.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive. You'll find them on Dauphin Street just east of I-65.
Right. A couple things here. Let me go back backwards because I got a couple texts here and I got a text to my phone about this as well. First of all, that baiting bill, and we will talk about it still tomorrow on the show, but it looks like it did. Thank you. Representative Stringer just texted me. The bait bill passed the House yesterday afternoon. So it did go through. Joel, who called earlier, it did go through. So I guess next to the governor's desk. I don't know if she signed it yet or not. Tim texted in, said, what about people over 65 for the baiting license? Yeah, Tim, so it's people over 65, people under 16. Like if you're going to have your child, like my eldest, she'll hunt with me. And mm-hmm. If we were hunting over bait, we'd both have to, and we both had a rifle, we'd both have to have this $15 license, which is, you know, interesting because in the state of Alabama, if you're hunting on your own land, if you're under 16, over 65, you don't have to have a hunting license. And without, once again, without getting into too much detail, because I always worry, I'm self-conscious about this on this show, this part of the show, before I move stuff to Saturdays, because I'll nerd out on this stuff. But the way the system works is there are federal dollars that are collected through something called Pittman-Robertson, which is an excise tax that's built into every gun mm-hmm. that's sold. I don't care if it's a Glock or a you know, a Ruger Model 1. Everything gets this excise tax built in. It's been there forever. The industry self-imposed it a long time ago. So it also applies to archery equipment and things that shoot. Okay, so that excise tax then goes to the federal government, and it's apportioned back to the states on a ratio of hunting licenses in a given state. It's one of the things that's why wildlife funds for buying land and getting things, it can't be used, the money can't be used actually to pay staff and do law enforcement portion. It can be used to improve wildlife habitat, buy land, those kind of things. It's based on number of licenses sold. So your ratio of licenses sold. So the state of Alabama has more hunters than show up as licensed. Because under 16, they don't have to have them. Over 65, there's exceptions. So this baiting license, everybody who hunts over bait will have to have this license. And that will count as a hunting license. Even though it's not a true hunting license, it's the bait stamp to
it
go with it.
It goes into that fund.
Right. Well, it'll bulk up the number of hunters in the state. So when we apply for these federal grants, which is usually a 3-1, 3 federal, 1 state ratio match, we'll have more numbers, therefore more of that money comes back to Alabama. You know, I said it, the wildlife projects got done at a lot higher rate during the Obama administration for outdoor stuff than ever before. Why is that? It's because everybody thought that, not everybody, a lot of people thought former President Obama was going to take the guns away, so what did we do? We bought guns. It also applies to ammo, guns and ammo. So people that are target shooters, all that stuff, that money's going back to wildlife conservation. It's one of the kind of secrets. I'm sorry, y'all, but it is. But it does go to building ranges as well, like the ranges at Upper Delta. Those dollars go there. But so when people ran out and bought guns, you know, whether they are modern sporting rifles or handguns or whatever, when that big, big trend happened during the 8 years of Obama, that money went in through the Pittman-Roberts Act, went into funds that funded things like buying public lands for us to hunt and fish on and camp and hike and canoe and all those things. So yeah, it's a really good program.
You've said it before that the 8 years of Obama were maybe one of the best things that's ever happened to the gun industry.
Big time, big time. It was monumental. Look at their numbers. It was huge for them. So that money comes back through. So that's why these licenses will also help the department. I have an idealistic problem with somebody buying a right that somebody else doesn't. You know, you're not on an equal footing.
Mm-hmm.
You can go and now you can hunt over bait if you buy this. But pragmatically, looks like, you know, it's happening anyways. All these people are doing it. Might as well have the state get some money in it. What it does is gives the director of Alabama Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries the ability, if one of these diseases breaks out, CWD being the worst in our area, they can shut down all feeding, all baiting, anything like that. And that's an issue because it concentrates critters and they nose to nose and saliva. That's how they spread these diseases. And it keeps them, gives the director the ability to say, okay, no more feeding, no more baiting whatsoever until we get this figured out. So that's the bill that went through, SB 66. And thank you, Representative Stringer told us it passed the House yesterday as well. All right, 8:42, and we'll go to the phones. A lot more to talk about here. Let's go to David in Mobile. Hey, David.
Hey, Sean. Hey, Alden. How y'all doing this morning?
Doing good.
If Alabama, the state of Alabama, being in the retail liquor business is such a good thing and is so profitable, then maybe y'all can answer this question for me. Why is the ABC board getting an allocation of $500,000 a year for at least the last 3 or 4 years from the Alabama Children's First Trust Fund, which is the trust fund set up to fight child abuse?
Well, you know, they also have the signs out the state, you know, the pregnant ladies shouldn't drink, and don't drink. It's not good for you. They run PSAs, so not drinking, while we're in the retail booze business.
Exactly. But, I mean, as you know, but like I said, the Alabama Children's First Trust Fund is the trust fund that's set up to fight child abuse, prevent child abuse. It basically, you know, provides funds for that. So why are we, the state of Alabama, taking $500,000 a year?
You tell me. I don't know. I mean, if you're expecting me to answer, I don't know.
The only plausible explanation that's been told to me and that I could come up with is that it's used to cash float inventory at the first of the year. But my question is this, if the Alabama Beverage Control Board is so profitable, why can't they hold over profits from the year before to do that?
Well, you know, that's one of the issues, though, with the state agencies, right? There's not holdover. That's why you get that big run-up of spending at the end of the year so people can go back in and say they need the same amount of funding for the following year. I mean, that's because it's not a they're trying to run a private business through a state agency.
Exactly, and that's my point, that it was, that a private business, a privately run beverage distributor would hold back previous year's profits to fund that. And that's why the ABC board needs to get out of the wholesale and retail liquor business.
There we go. Listen, you're not going to get any argument from me. I've been saying it forever. We've been arguing it year after year after year. What set me off this year is that it didn't even make it out of the committee. And once again, this is Lord knows there's more times that I have criticized Senator Orr than praised him. But each year when this comes up, this is a right thing for the state, and for it to not even make it out of the fiscal responsibility and business committee. Let me get the right term, because it's just, to me, it's beyond laughable that this bill doesn't make it out of the fiscal responsibility and economic development committee. One, to privatize, to get the state out of the business. Although, state, listen, Alabama is a big government conservative state. I've been saying it forever, and you'll see it with this lotto, too. I mean, I don't have a beef with lotto. I don't care. I'm pretty laissez-faire on that. But I would like the private sector to do it instead of the state. It's just growing the things the state is in. So the state, you know, we're talking about how conservative we are, and socially, absolutely, a lot of conservatism, and some things on taxes that were fiscally conservative, but elsewhere, the size of government, you know, Alabama's not near as conservative. Look at our history on that. Now, are things changing? Maybe. But we have a history of being a big government conservative state. It seems a little bit oxymoronic, but it's true. Let's go to Freddie in Mobile. Hey, Freddie.
Yeah, good morning, Sean. I just want to tell you that one of your advertisers on your show, I had him to cater my daughter's wedding at Gulfcrest, name of who I'm having reference to, and I had 150 people, and he fed them all. Tell Naaman, his staff was wonderful.
Oh, that's great to hear. Hey, that's great to hear, Freddie. Yeah, Alec is, he's a consummate professional in this. He's done some stuff for us over the years, and it's the best, and the food's pretty darn good, isn't it?
Yeah, but I just like to call in and say he did some things for me, and I was highly appreciative. All the people said the food was great, and I'm glad he advertised on your show.
Did your daughter have a great day?
Yeah.
Proud daddy. I can hear it. That's good stuff. Thank you, Freddie. Thanks for that. And I hope, Alec, if you're listening right now, if not, I'll send a little clip of that. Thanks, Freddie. We sure appreciate it. We'll come right back. More of Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Phone number 343-0106. Also getting a couple texts in here on this. But it's this is why I say pay attention to Montgomery. There are things happening and not happening every single day up there. I know it's easy with cable news and all the other distractions to only pay attention to Washington. And remember, I'm not saying don't pay attention to Washington. I'm just saying, mix a little Montgomery with your Washington. How about that? Looking for caller number 6 right now at 343-0106. Got a pair of tickets for you to check out Jim Gaffigan and the Quality Time Tour coming to the Wharf Amphitheater Saturday, May 11th. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com and Wharf Box Office. Caller number 6, the tickets are yours. Good luck. Right, 852 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. By the way, another winner here for Jim Gaffigan tickets.
Yeah, Joel from Mobile picking up tickets to go see Jim Gaffigan. Should be an awesome show.
All right, speaking of things going on as well, lots of them going on over the weekend. I got the MPD doing their chili cook-off.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you have the South Sounds Music Festival today, tomorrow, and Sunday at a bunch of different bars downtown.
Yep.
And it's going to be really cool. Starts up, actually, they had their little preview thing last night, but it starts up tonight and goes through Sunday.
And at Bellengrath Gardens, the Easter breakfast, Easter egg hunt, and Easter bunny will all be there tomorrow morning.
So y'all going to do the first Easter bunny picture with your daughter?
That's what we're doing. My daughter, 2 months old today, and getting her first Easter bunny picture tomorrow.
Well, congratulations. Check back on Monday. Tell me how she acted.
Okay.
Because you take the child that's only seen family and a few friends, you know, and although she came here to the station the other day, I thought that was cool, and then put her in the lap of somebody, sorry, in the Easter bunny's lap.
Right.
This gigantic 6 foot tall bunny. And watch how they react.
Yeah.
Some of the best pictures of me as a child were me as a child not liking being with, you know, whatever, whether it was Santa or the Easter Bunny or something. I wasn't having it.
Yeah.
I was not having it.
I will be here. I will be at. I will be on the air with Prep Sports Report tomorrow morning. I'm going to try to make it over.
Wait,
there.
Wait, so you're not even going to be there when it goes down?
No, I somehow escaped that.
How'd you just say, maybe I got to work?
Yeah, just got to Gotta go pay the checks. Pay the bills, I mean.
The show must go on. All right. So, yeah, some of the activities going on this weekend. Dr. Bill saying, actually, we might be able to get the most out of having some tough weather for the weekend because tomorrow looks okay. Rain kind of a nighttime thing Saturday into Sunday morning and maybe even clearing by daylight on Sunday morning, if not soon thereafter. And Sunday being a lot better and actually cool weather by the time we get to Monday. All right. One of the bills we were talking about here that is moving right now is that Road Rage Act. HB 212, sponsored by Representative Philip Pettis. Once again, and I see a bunch of texts about this. I actually, like the sentiment here, I'm all aboard the sentiment, but a couple things. You pointed out, don't we already have laws that regulate this? And the other part of it is, why does it have to be called the Anti-Road Rage Act? Y'all see what I mean? It's saying the only reason not to drive in the left lane is that people have outbreaks of road rage. How about you don't do it because you're not supposed to do it?
Yeah.
I am such a sucker of rule of law kind of stuff. I am. But, I mean, it's against the law. It's not how the traffic is supposed to work. So you pass in the left lane, get back in your right lane. Why does it have to be? The only reason we're doing this is people have road rage. That's the wrong motivation.
And we all know it's not going to make a dang bit of difference because the people that hang out in the left lane going 10 miles below the speed limit,
yes,
they already have no idea what the left lane is supposed to be used for. They're just, I think, for the most part, they're just completely ignorant of how to properly use lanes. And so you think they're actually paying attention to what bills are being passed in Montgomery and what's now the law? No way.
Good point. Yeah, they're the people that I think they get in, the vehicle starts, me go place. Me driving, go yeah. place. I mean, this is, and I've said this before, and I know there are exceptions because last time I brought this up, people say, well, people's fuse panels are bad or whatever. But it's like when I see people in the dark driving down the road with no headlights on. Don't you notice you can't see your display in the vehicle? Don't you? Those are things that give me, fits. I'm like, the people that are not engaged, there's a lot of distracted driving, but there's people that are completely disengaged from what they're doing.
Yeah,
they're in that lane. They're in the left lane going 10 miles on their speed limit, and they don't care. Vehicles pass them on the right. It doesn't like embarrass them or make them want to change anything they're doing. Vehicles are driving down the road with no headlights on. I'm flipping my headlights back and forth like, hey, dude, turn on your lights. You see them pass you by, and in the light of the street lamp there, you're like, they're just checked out.
Yeah, you could rip their rearview mirror off, and they wouldn't even notice.
Right.
Wouldn't even notice.
Don't use a mirror.
No.
Those are just for show.
Eyes forward. Go the speed you're going to go.
Me drive car, go place. We get car, go place.
Doesn't sound like we have any hang-ups about this or anything.
I'm kind of venting there. All right, let's grab a quick call here before we wrap it up on a Friday for Mobile Mornings. Thomas is in Theodore. Hey, man.
Hey, Sean. Hey, Dalton. How y'all doing?
Doing good. Thomas, what's up?
I'm enjoying your programming, Sean, all through the week. You had some real dingers, I'll tell you. Interviews.
Thank you.
And Jeff Ford. The guy is great. There's nothing to you're a campaign manager, and thank you for having him on. He's a great guy. Hey, I wanted to say, I've learned a lot from Jimmy Kimmel over the years, funny stuff. And what you do is you give Issy a nice bag of Easter candy, Dalton, and then you take it away and see what she does.
Okay. Well, she probably wouldn't care right
teeth.
Now.
She's got to have teeth.
Yeah, she's got to be eating something other than milk.
Yes, but at that point, you're right. I mean, you take the candy away and you elicit
it away
the
see what the little girl does. Also, you're going to be 10 years old. I can't believe it.
Yeah, well, I know we don't act that, but May 1st, the radio station turns 10.
I was thinking about coming out of the closet. And I thought that would be a good day to do it. Is it fall on a weekday? Or are you going to do something special? Have everybody over at the seafood restaurant,
So we've been talking about it. It does fall during the May 1st. And yes, was I a smart aleck and launched a station on May Day? Yes, I was. There are about three people that ever noticed that. But the three of us and me were laughing. I launched this radio station on that big red day. It's a Wednesday. Thomas, I don't know what we're doing. That's not being cagey or anything. It's just the fact that spend so many hours of the week just making sure the hamster runs on the wheel here that things like planning parties it's not my strong suit. I know we've had plenty of suggestions, people that would like to host a party. We're going to do something or some things over the next year. because this will be our 10th year.
Yeah, make it a year-long celebration.
And so we're open to some ideas. If you expect, like, that it's going to be the Stones playing here at the studio coming up on that Wednesday the 1st, probably not. But we've got some ideas and love to hear from y'all. Ideas that would involve just celebrating 10 years, how to make it local like we do every day. We want to continue to do that. So, yeah, we're this many. Oh, yeah, I'm holding up both hands. We're 10. We'll see you later.